Hey, gang, are you in a band in Austin? You're looking to make the leap from the band of schmoes to the band of pros? Well, you can start by rehearsing at Space. Space is a state-of-the-art affordable venue for rehearsal and recording located just a few short miles south of downtown Austin. 31 spacious rooms, great PAs, and a very helpful and courteous staff. They have adapted to the COVID standards, and it is a very safe place to rehearse. You move in one way, you go in one door, you go out the other, you bring your own microphones. That's Space Rehearsal and Recording. Find them at 512-448-9518 or go to spaceatx.com and take the talent train from Schmoesville to Protown with Space Rehearsal and Recording. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here are your hosts.
I'm Johnny. I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a great weekend, whatever it is you did this weekend, and that you're easing into your week in style, as you should. I had a good weekend, you guys. It was good to get back to work with Skyrocket after a few weeks off. We played Friday night in San Antonio for Alamo Heights night at the Incarnate Word College. That's where that was. I didn't know on Friday, but now I know where it is. It's the second time we played that. It was a great show, man. There was a few thousand people there. They were really excited. It's really fun to engage an audience that big. You know what I mean? Get them to sing along, get them, you know, to do this stuff. It's fucking fun, man. So it was a great show. A lot of fun. Band played great. We alternated sets with this band called Hotcakes from here in Austin. They're a great band and great folks. Great hanging out with everyone. It was a tough thing getting out there, though. We had to get out there early, but like I-35 was closed completely because of a wreck, and I ended up taking the tollway up there. The tollway that takes you to like I-10, like just outside of San Antonio, then you go in. But man, that ended up taking like almost 3 hours to get there. It was a bit much for a place that's an hour away. Anyway, we played the show, drove back home. My friend Paul English from Skyrocket rode with me, and then he rode with me to Houston the next day. We went and played this dude's birthday, and we played at this place called Hughes. It used to be called Hughes Hangar. It's called something else now. But it's a cool place, cool vibe, and it was the second time we played a party for these people, and they're so nice, and their friends are all nice, and once again, a very engaged crowd. It was really fun to it's great, just great getting back to work with Skyrocket. But if you know what we do in that band, like these are these long-ass shows where everybody switches instruments. There's a different singer on almost every song. There's seven of us doing all this shit the whole time. And it's a pretty exhausting performance. You know what I mean? When you don't do it for a few weeks and you get back to doing it two nights in a row, I ended up driving home from Houston on Saturday night as well as Sunday, as well as Friday night from San Antonio. But the drive from Houston was a lot later. We left at about 12:30, got home around 3 a.m. And I was just exhausted. So when I sat down to watch the Grammys, did you guys watch the Grammys on Sunday night? I sat down to watch the Grammys on Sunday night. I made it about an hour into it, and then I just fell asleep. But what I saw was really good. Olivia Rodrigo, great performance. Lil Nas X, great performance. There was another guy that performed, and he was a Latin guy, and I can't remember his name, but he like the second part of his song, first part was like with a lady, and then the second part was like, in like this, like some stands, you know, some bleachers going up, and he had these people dancing in their seats with like different colored stuff on their arms. You know what I'm saying? Do you remember this? If you saw it, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, that was really impressive. And, what else? Silky Sounds, amazing. I love that record, man. It was really great. I saw it won some awards after I went to sleep. Anyway, great weekend overall. I hope you guys all had a great weekend. And again, I hope you're easing into your weekend style. Gang, I have a great show for you today. A very new artist, an amazing R&B neo-soul singer-songwriter. Grace Sorensen is my guest today. She just released her debut EP back in January, I think. It's called What I Never Told You, produced by my dear friend Matt Nevesky from Blue October over there at his studio, The Orb. You can find her at gracesorensen.com. What an amazing, amazing artist. Now, check this out. I met her back in February when I hosted an event called Lush Life over at Pershing, featuring James Robinson Harry Adokwa and Grace Sorensen. I'd never seen her before. I saw her at this little interview thing, but just kind of like in passing. But I'd never seen her perform before. But I listened to her music. I thought she was incredible. Then I saw her perform. I introduced her on stage. I kind of hung out and talked to her before and after the show. Really, really cool person. But I had no idea just how new she was to all of this. I knew she was young. I knew she was 19. But I didn't know that that was her first band show that I was witnessing. She took the stage at the Pershing, and it was a party, you know, it was a scene. People are having a great time. It was totally packed. People are drinking. People are talking. It's pretty, you know, it's pretty loud, pretty rambunctious. Then she gets up with like her sparse, sort of like quiet demeanor. But like saying she has a quiet demeanor has does nothing to diminish her charisma. And just sort of like she really, like whatever it is when someone has it, she has it. So she commanded the room. You know, some people try and get louder than the people talking. Some people can just do what they do, stand their ground, and the room volume comes down to them. And that's what she did. And that's something only a seasoned performer does. Well, I found out during this conversation that that was her first show with a band ever. Are you crazy? This woman is amazing. She might be young. She might be new to stuff. And I know that people of my age, like I'm 53 years old, I've done this shit for a long time. You think, man, some people got to pay their dues. And some people really do have to pay their dues. People need to get it together, get their like their stage persona together, do all that. But some people show up fully formed. And that's Grace Sorensen, amazing songwriter, amazing singer, amazing performer, amazing personality. We have a fantastic conversation. She's a great hang. Her new EP, What I Never Told You, get out there and check it out. It's absolutely fantastic. Find her at gracesorensen.com. She just opened for Diana Ross this weekend. She just opened for Diana Ross. That was probably her second band show opening for Diana Ross. Good God. Anyway, great conversation. What a great artist and what a fantastic hang. I had a great time getting to know Grace Sorensen, and I think you will too. So without further ado, enjoy my conversation with this amazing artist, Grace Sorensen. Let's get down. Baseball fan?
No.
Is that a weird question?
That's not a weird question. Unfortunately, I don't really like...
sports?
Yeah, I'm not really a sports girl. No one in my family is. Like, my dad was never into that, so... I guess I missed out.
Let me turn on this light. Where are you from? You're not...
Round Rock, originally.
Round Rock,
Texas.
So you were born there. I was realizing today, like, and I'm not... Please don't take this as odd, but
yeah.
You're really young, man.
Indeed.
Like, it's weird to look at someone like, fuck, you were born after 9/11. Like, I'm like, that is a long time ago.
Yeah.
Or that, it's not that long ago.
Yeah.
And, but there's this sophistication and an elegance to your presentation that is so beyond your years.
Thank you
so listening much. To your EP over and over again, What I Never Told You, which is gorgeous.
Thank you.
There's just like, you have, you know what I mean? Like, there's a calmness to you that most people that are 19 don't have.
Yeah, I can't explain it. I guess I've been told that a few times, but I'm very grateful for that. But I grew up pretty fast just because my mom and dad were like super busy all the time when I was little. So they're very nurturing, but they were kind of like, okay, you need to figure things out on your own, which I think was actually a really good thing.
Are you an only child?
No, I have two older siblings.
Okay.
So I'm the baby also, which kind of helps.
Yeah.
Just getting to learn from like their lives and learn from like things that they told or like that I watched them go through that I didn't want to go through. I don't know. There was a lot of factors kind of helping me have to figure things out a little earlier, but... I'm grateful for it.
Yeah. It paid off in this really in a really cool way.
Yeah.
So
I think
you've been working at the Orb? Mm-hmm. With Matt Nevesky produced it?
Yes, okay. Best man ever. Yeah.
He's one of the best men. I love that guy.
Yeah, same.
He's also one of the funniest people.
He's so funny.
He's so funny.
Yeah. We were recording one of my songs, and we were like doing things normally, and then I look over on the floor and he's just like rolling out his back on like a roller and just like didn't say anything. It wasn't like meant to be a funny thing, and he was just like rolling out his back. I love things like that. Like it was added some flavor.
How do you make these songs? How do you write these songs? These are your stories?
Yeah, all of it is very literal. A lot of my music is like exactly what happened, and
there's a lot of people that don't do that
because they're
scared.
I know.
Yeah.
I know. And in a way, I wish that I wasn't like that, because sometimes it makes it a little harder to write, because I feel like there's so many things that I could talk about. But
well, you're also in the first phase.
Totally.
Of your writing life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's still time to
figure it out, explore.
Write some. You're gonna want to at some point. You know what I mean?
Agreed.
But yeah, and you're in a point right now where it's almost like a confessional.
Yeah.
You're working your shit out.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Yeah, basically, it's kind of like that. My music is always written, and I've said this in like a couple other interviews, like it's very retrospective, and it's very like self-reflective.
Introspective, you mean?
Introspective,
right,
yeah.
Okay, sorry.
And also like looking back on things that happened.
Both.
Yeah,
okay.
So it's kind of me analyzing things that I had experienced or people that I had experienced, and then helping myself kind of cope with it. I know a lot of people say that like writing music is very therapeutic, and it sounds so cliche, but there's a reason it's cliche, because it really is true.
Yeah.
It's very true.
Yeah.
So that's really my place to consolidate my thoughts, so I'm not all over the place. And then you just turn it into song, and then someone else might hear it and be like, oh, that's cool. Like, I feel that too. And it's just kind of a cool story.
Have you ever heard of this producer, Todd Rundgren?
Mm-mm.
He's also a songwriter guy. He wrote that "Hello, It's Me." You know that song? Old song.
I think so.
Anyway,
probably my dad would know it.
He's had a long, long, long career. You know, since the early 70s.
That's cool.
And I've heard him talk about that. He's not writing some stuff about what's politically what is going on over there. He's literally like, if you go back through my career, you see me working through my shit my whole life. Like, that's the kind of writer that's similar to, it's the same kind of writer I am, because sometimes I feel bad after a while of writing like that. You're like, I gotta write about something
else other
than what I'm feeling, but it's kind of hard not to.
Exactly,
you know. And exactly. It goes, once you get into that place, it becomes like an addictive thing. Like, I've had fights with like girlfriends where, like, in the middle of the fight, I'm like, oh, shit, what she just said is a perfect line for the opening of the course.
And then I write it in the notes.
You're the worst person. Don't you feel like, you do that too?
Yep.
Don't you feel like the worst person ever?
A little bit. I'm like, that's content. This is content.
This is it. This is great.
Right. Right. I mean.
Can you repeat what you said?
Yeah, I'll be like, hold on, wait, what did you say? And then we can get back to fighting. Just remember where we were. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so getting to write these songs, like musically, like the whole thing, how does it come? Do you write an idea of what you want to say, or does somebody come? Who do you write music? How does this work?
Yeah, so usually it starts with, in the beginning, before I started like working with producers from the ground up, like when I was working with Matt, I would write all of the songs completely all the way through, and then they would just produce it. So it would just be figuring out who was going to play in it, what instruments I felt would translate the lyrics the best, and then we would just track everything, and then I would just lay the vocals on top. But then when I started working with producers, it was very like co-writing almost, not necessarily the words, but when you're writing with
the music,
a producer,
and
the
beats.
Producer kind of guides where the music is going to go,
right?
And also could like curate what the vibe is, and then I'll kind of write whatever that emotion is pulling out of me. So it's really like that, usually. Yeah.
Do you play any instruments?
I do. I grew up playing classical piano. And then I played saxophone in middle school band. And then I started teaching myself guitar. So I can kind of play guitar enough to like write on, but piano is definitely like where I feel more comfortable. Sax was just a fun little two year shindig. It was fun.
You haven't gone back to it?
No, but I love the sax. Like anytime that I'm around saxophone players, I'm like, I understand how difficult it is, and you are so cool. Like I just find like band people just so cool.
Yeah,
so cool.
There have been eras of music where it's like hip to have a guy that stands over there, like Bruce Springsteen has always had a guy stand over there, like, all right, let's go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I still think it's cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
I don't know when people thought that wasn't cool anymore, but it is.
You know what? I lived through it. I'm not going to lie. The 80s. I have a saxophone aversion.
See?
Unless it's in jazz. Saxophone in rock bums me out. It weirds me out. In rock, yeah.
I don't think I've heard that.
Saxophone in rock.
I don't think so.
It's there, man. It was there in like the 80s. The saxophone kind of like became this featured instrument in that decade in this weird way.
Oh.
Because of the drama.
Okay. I'll have to look up some good...
So let me ask you. So you had a piano in your house growing up?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, a little upright like that.
Did your... Did you ask for piano lessons, or did they say you're taking piano lessons?
No, which is also another thing that I'm very grateful to my parents for, is they didn't ever like really make any of my siblings do anything except my oldest sister. But through my life, they would kind of see what I was being drawn towards, and then they would just support it. So growing up, I was real theatrical. I wanted to act when I was young, and but I didn't really have the resources to like go and work that out. And so
there's a weird calmness to you, like Erykah Badu, that makes me think it wouldn't work with acting.
That's,
you know what I mean?
A little bit
like,
true.
You're not like you know.
Right. And I get kind of crazy sometimes, but it's like the, I don't know, the core of me is doesn't really want to be anything but me.
Yeah.
But yeah, so when I was little, my sister was playing piano. And I think my parents made her, I'm not sure, but I was watching her and I was like, that's beautiful. Like, I want to do that too. So I was like, hey, could I take piano lessons? And then I just started taking by her same teacher. And then we took classes forever together, and we hated it. We hated playing together. We used to do duets, and it was so chaotic. Like, we could not get along. It was hard, but it was so fun, and I love it. And I'm glad that I learned piano.
Yeah.
And like reading music, like that was something I'm really grateful for. Like that knowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's dope.
The band that played with you at the Pershing, basically, I would have said this in the intro of the show, but for those of you who don't know, I met Grace. I hosted an event a month ago. Why am I drawing a blank on the name? Lush Life. Fantastic thing. My friend James Robinson introduced me to you and your music. Mm-hmm. And I went to do an interview the week before it, and you were being interviewed before me, and we didn't really meet.
Yeah.
Like, you were there. They're like, hey, you got to go.
Passing,
this guy's going. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you were so cool. Like, from the first second I saw, first thing
Thank you.
Thought was like, she's so cool. Like, Prince or something. You know what I mean? Like, just like Erykah Badu. Like, hey, what's up? Like, you're Thank either you. Super high or you're just super that cool.
I don't even smoke.
There you go. All right, that's what I figured when I found out your age, because all I could think was like, man, that person just like is like very comfortable in their skin. Like,
thank you.
Did you go through a phase where you weren't like people
totally.
Do? Yeah,
totally. And I feel like I still am to a certain degree, but I feel like the thing that I'm most comfortable in is just who I am, like in my head.
Yeah,
the outer shell is always something that I'm working on, but. I went through a lot of like personality phases, and I think that helped me figure out early who I really am.
Yeah.
And it was just a lot of trial and error, I feel. A lot of just, ooh, that's not me. Or like trying to fit in with certain groups and like not fitting in, and then realizing why I didn't fit in, or things that I did like about those groups and adopting them. And I don't know, just exploring different people groups helped me a lot, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Were you a good student?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In middle school, I was a goody two-shoes. And
that was one of your
like,
personalities?
Very. It was one of my, absolutely. My friends, like, that I went to high school with, they would always say, like, you were such a nerd in middle school. Like, you were always reading. And, like, that, like, in my middle school age, everybody had phones. And it was, like, you know, the new thing. It was real cool if you had Snapchat. And I wasn't allowed to have Snapchat. So I was just, like, reading books. And at the time, I was like, yeah, like, this is cool. Like, I love reading books. And I do. But, sure. like, now I don't ever read books. And in high school, I was like, what are books? And I was annoyed when we had to. I was so annoyed when we had to read them. But what are books? But, like, through school, yeah, I was a good kid. I wasn't really, like, ever crazy or getting in trouble or anything, except in elementary school. But everything else was pretty normal.
What was going on then?
I don't know. I was, like, a weird kid. I was kind of bad. And I would be in the principal's office a lot in elementary school.
But for what?
I don't know.
I can't see anything you would do.
I would throw things. And, like, I remember one time I made fun of this kid that threw up. And then I got sent to the principal's office. And I still feel bad about it. I still feel bad, but I don't know. It was unfortunate. He was crying really hard, and then he, like, threw up. And I was like, oh, no. Yeah. But we phased out of that, too. So
how did you discover dance? How did that happen to you?
Yeah, that's a cool story. My mom grew up dancing, like, ballet folklorico and doing flamenco. And then she opened up her own dance studio doing drill team. So she went more of a... like, she was doing Dallas Mavericks for a while.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then she opened up her own studio and started it as a drill team company. And then from there, it grew into a more commercialized dance studio, and it just grew and grew and grew. And she is a very big inspiration to me on, like, entrepreneurship, because she started with just a couple little girls that wanted to dance, and now she has, like, 300 students at her studio.
Wow.
Yeah, so her studio is, like, popping now. And it's great, and it's wonderful. It's called the Dance Academy. It's out in Leander. And I'm really proud of her for that, because I kind of watched it grow as I grew up. And while I was really little, she kind of helped me. She put me in the classes, and she would just say, okay, I need you to come to class, because I'm going anyways, so come with me. And I remember at first I didn't want to do it. And I just ended up having to, and she would never let me skip. Like, if she, because I was the director's daughter,
right?
So
yeah,
I had it the hardest.
Yeah,
like,
the
you can't act weird in class. You can't be late. You can't miss. You can't wear something that you're not supposed to wear. Like, it was very strict.
Yeah.
But in a way, I'm also glad that I had that. You know, it taught me to be real respectful and you know, to get myself put together and be organized. And yeah, it was cool, and I love it now.
Yeah,
so.
That's another thing I'll say that I assume you were leading your band, but there was, like, this thing, like, you really had your shit together. This guy. Let me close this window. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. There's no rhyme or reason to end. It's just as soon as the podcast starts, and I'm like, oh, it's a nice thing on my window's open. They were just here on Friday. I swear to God, they were just, there's no rhyme or reason. They were just here on Friday.
It's a high maintenance yard.
High maintenance. Yeah. It's a high maintenance yard. So then you connected with dance.
Yeah, totally. And that's another thing that I don't think I've ever talked about, but this was very important to my upbringing, I guess. When I was growing up, kind of being forced to dance, I never appreciated it. And I was just kind of like a workout or a chore. And then at some point, some age, maybe I was like 13 or 14, it finally clicked. And I was like, wait, this feels great. Like, all I have to do is just, like, try. And then, like, it'll be beautiful and it'll be great. And I remember there was a very distinct year where it just clicked. And then I started actually improving, because I was the worst one on the team for a long time. My mom would always tell directors, like, put her in the back. She doesn't know what she's doing. And I hated it. Like, I was, like, bad at it and I didn't like it. And then it eventually was just like, okay, you're either going to stick here and be bad for the rest of your life and not enjoy it and waste your time, or you're going to love it and get better. And so I just had to choose. And then I think it was really the music that started. That's why I started liking dance. And then
what was the music you were dancing to? Like, what did you connect with?
I was doing a lot of hip hop, and I didn't grow up listening to hip hop. So I only listened to hip hop or rap in dance. And I remember hearing it, and I was like, this, like, beat, this, like, this pulse is really cool. And so I started really liking hip hop for a long time. And then in, like, contemporary classes, it was always, like, soulful stuff. Like, back in that time it was like Sam Smith all the time or Adele, right. And I was just in love with those artists, and I would always be more inclined to pay attention or to feel the class more,
yeah,
if it was something like that.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't, I would kind of like mentally tap out. And I still do that sometimes, which right. I hate that I do that sometimes. But if there's like a song that just is not at all like something I could connect to, it's harder for me to dance to it. So, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
So that's something that you've kept going. And I know that you danced with my friend Sheila, our friend Sheila, I saw her while she was here. You see her?
Yeah.
Did you perform with her at South by Southwest?
No, that was two of my other friends.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you did ACL with her. Austin City Limits Music Festival.
Yes.
And do you still, is there other people you go and
No, with? It was just her. That actually happened because her vocal coach is my vocal coach.
Okay.
And she was looking for a Latina singer. And so he recommended me, and then we just started working together. And at first I was gonna dance and sing with her, but she asked me if I knew any dancers, and I was like, of course. So then I told her a couple of my friends, and then she brought all of them in, and then it was like this big party every time we had rehearsals, and it turned into this big production that was super cool. So.
Did you do the choreography?
No. Quentin did. Yes.
Arispe?
Do you know Quentin? Yes.
I just work with Quentin in the artist development program at Austin Music Foundation.
That's awesome. Yeah. Quentin is a legend.
Quentin, I was watching these videos from him playing this last week. I'm sorry, yes. I missed what he had like two shows on Saturday.
Yes.
He like
unreal.
He's unreal.
Unreal. I know.
And you know, he's so weird because I work with him in this mentor thing, and I've talked about it with him on the show.
Yeah.
But he called me one night. I'm 53, right? So he calls me one night. He's like, oh, I'm really excited. He gets excited.
Uh-huh.
He calls his dudes and he's like, hey, I got an idea.
Uh-huh.
You're like, all right, tell me. He's like, I'm going to be a guy from another planet. That's how I'm going to work this out. That's how I'm going to work out being a human being. And this awesome performer is the performer guy is going to be his own entity, and he's going to be from another planet, and his name's going to be Neptune. Okay, so just sitting here watching TV, and Party's like, dude, why don't you just write some songs, man? Like,
right.
What are you doing? But then the other part of me thought, like, you know, David Bowie at one point, he was like, called somebody and said, hey, I want to be this guy, Ziggy Stardust from another planet.
Yeah.
And that's how I'm going to work out. And then I didn't want to be the guy that was like, hey, that's a dumb idea.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
He's just so exploding with ideas and so inspired and so...
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to. When something's calling you, you have to go for it.
Yeah.
And I feel like Quentin told me about that too. And I was like, that's incredible. Like, and we've talked a lot about separating your real self versus your performer self.
Right.
Which in some cases, being you could be the brand. Or being a character could be the brand.
Right.
And it's a difficult concept to pick one.
Yep.
I'm kind of in that phase right now, too. Because there's so many, like, parts of me that I could emphasize to create a character. Or I could just be the way that I am and just be me. But, you know, there's so many questions with that and so many, like, gray lines or gray areas. But I really, really love watching what Quentin is doing. And with the whole performance, like, the opening with, what is it?
Roll on the river.
The river.
Yeah.
It, like, so cool with the dancers and everything and the energy. And Quentin is not like that in real life. Like, Quentin is not this, like, aggressive man. And so it's just really cool to see this, like, duality.
Well, that's what he was saying, is that the Neptune guy is straight and, like, a womanizer.
Straight man.
Yeah. And, like, a womanizer. Like, he's just going through ladies left and right.
Right.
I want to be Neptune.
Same.
We're jealous.
I know.
It is a weird sort of thing. So you've only really, like, I mean, how long have you been performing music? Like a year?
Yeah.
But that's like one of those things. Like, and as I said, I've done this since I was a little kid. You can see that picture of me when I was 14, like 39 years ago.
Oh my God.
Playing in my friend's living room at my first band gig. And so there's a thing that happens when somebody comes out of nowhere and, like, your pitch is perfect. Your voice as a songwriter, like the style of your writing is formed. It's fully formed. You're not.
Thank you.
I don't listen to those songs. I'm like, this person's trying to figure out who they are. Mm-hmm. No, you know who you are, and you're confidently executing it. And that sometimes that takes a long time.
Yeah.
A long time. And to see you with like the calm and cool that you approach the stage and an audience, you know, that it, like, what gig was that for you at Pershing at the Lush Life? Was that like your 10th gig or something?
Probably.
It seemed like you'd been doing it as long as everyone else there.
Wow. Yeah. That's a huge compliment.
Yeah. No, it's true.
Thank you. I mean, that was was that the first or the second? That was the first show I ever played with a band and a show that I ever did my own music. So that was a huge learning.
That was essentially your first show.
Yeah, if you want to look at it that way. Before that, it had always been tracks and covers. So like karaoke tracks, basically, which is just, you know.
So what was it like? What was the feeling of having that power?
It was awesome.
All those instruments moving that air beat. That is so awesome.
You have
awesome.
No idea.
Yeah.
Like that has been one of my dreams forever. And live instruments is so important to me. There's something so powerful about that chemistry that you have. And I love watching bands that have like sick chemistry. That's why I love Tiny Desks, is you can watch them like communicate with each other through their eyes. And
it's so cool.
And so I was really grateful to have that. And my band is just so dope and so professional. And it was just really, really cool to work with them and to be listened to by them.
Yeah.
And that was also super cool, just getting to have that power, like you said.
Because that is a thing. Like, we can get into it, and I don't know if you've even experienced it yet.
Yeah.
Because you will at some point, I'm sure. Yeah. Sexism.
Oh, like, definitely.
Your face completely changed.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. What's happened in that way? I mean, you don't have to get too into it, but...
I mean, just in general, I'm sure that, like, every female has probably, like, felt like you have to work a little harder to prove yourself, and partially that could be why I'm a little bit more, I try to be more put together all the time, because I don't want someone to think, oh, she's unprepared, or she's new, or blah,
like, you
got
to work twice as hard to make sure that,
definitely,
because the slightest thing, you're out.
Right. And it's like, if I screw up, like, it's over, you know, not really, but it's like, that's how it'll feel. But I mean, honestly, I feel like the people I've been around are pretty solid men, and like, I haven't felt horrible. So I'm very grateful, but I know that it'll happen, and I know that it'll happen in other aspects of my life, not just music. So just preparing for that is a little bit difficult, but I'm sure, you know, every girl kind of has to process that.
You know what I've heard, and I feel like it's probably right. Do you know Kathy Valentine? Do you know who that is?
Mm-mm.
She's in the Go-Go's.
Mm-mm.
They're an all-female band.
Oh, cool.
That just got inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Whoa.
And we were talking, she was here, and she was talking about how the sexism that happened to her wasn't with, like, our group that was there that day. No one was perving on you or making you feel threatened or uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But because she said, like, the musicians are all your family.
Right.
But when you get into the business, it's like the record guys and the booking guys, the radio guys are all like these weird, creepy. I've seen it firsthand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have.
Yeah. I mean, just at a dinner with a lady that worked at radio with like a radio station that could have really helped my band.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to have dinner with us, and they were, we were having a toast. And when everyone did the toast, the lady from the record company, our radio lady, said, we're all supposed to look in each other's eyes when we toast.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy said, I'm too busy looking at your tits.
No.
And like, I was like, dude, because like, you know, I come from like a single mom and stuff, like, you know.
I would have left.
She was like, ha, 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 cheers. All right. Let's go on to the next thing. And I was just like, it was, made me feel gross, man.
Absolutely.
Made me feel gross. I wanted to do the Will Smith.
Yeah. Oh. It's too soon for that. You are on top of the media.
I saw it last night.
Yeah.
I mean, I also didn't see it happen. I had to look on Twitter because I didn't realize what had happened.
Yeah. Oh, no.
That was weird.
I mean, yeah. I mean.
But anyway, yeah, those kind of things are it seems like it happens more in the business side of it than the creative side of it.
Oh, know? Definitely. I could totally see that.
Because someone like Matt, you feel you came over here today. You don't know me. You're a 19-year-old, you know, young woman who came over to some weird dude's apartment, you know, that you met hosting a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you definitely have some power and strength, and you're like, okay, I know who I am, that, you know.
Yeah.
Don't fuck with me.
No, I feel like I also have a good radar for, like, my safety radar and just trusting certain people. And I, you know, if I can kind of feel your intentions, like, I'll be fine.
All right.
But, you know, some people I definitely, like, there have been many situations where I haven't communicated or gone through with something because I've been uncomfortable with the way that I've been talked to or the communication was weird it's just shady. So there definitely are situations where I have to be a little bit more protective of myself. But for the most part, like, you know, I actually went to an interview one time and they were like, oh, you came here alone? And they were like acting really weird about it. And I was like, okay, like, this is it's making me uncomfortable. You're uncomfortable that I'm here alone. Because why would you be uncomfortable?
Right.
So it just, that whole interview was just kind of uncomfortable. So I learned from that. But yeah, I mean, other than that, like, people are good. People are good to me, so.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Because you have that, you carry yourself that way, too. There's no, like, you're not, like, overly sexualized in any kind of way where you're, like, some, whatever Britney Spears was when she first, you know, was, like, 16, and you're like, why is this weird? You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, let's get back to that music stuff. So how was it, like, getting into the rehearsal room with the band and, like, going over stuff? I mean, all of that stuff, that's the most exciting part, and that's something you'll never forget. Like, years when you're my age, you'll look back and be like, it makes the hair on my arm stand up. Like, the feeling rehearsing for that gig with my band for the first time, even though it was in a garage and all shitty.
Right.
It was awesome.
It's so cool.
It was awesome. It was like surfing or skiing or just freedom. You know what I mean? And
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I had been in a couple other rehearsal situations with Sheila and with Magna Carta when I was doing some background for one of their shows. And even that performance, and Tori Blake, I've seen her rehearse too. I love her. Oh my God, I love her. And watching them, I remember being like, oh my God, I cannot wait to do that. Like, this is amazing. Like, watching them, like, talk to each other and make it just to where it's just right to what they feel.
Yeah.
It's so cool. And so we went to Space. We were at Orb the first rehearsal, and then we had two rehearsals before the Pershing. And the second one was at Space, and I had been there with Magna Carta. And I was like, this is the coolest place I've ever seen.
I love it there. I have a room there.
They have, like, some real groovy stuff. Like, it's so cool in there. Like, the standing mannequin, like, it's really cool.
It scares me all the time.
Yeah, same. I'll walk down and I'll be like, oh, hey, you're a mannequin. It was super cool getting in there, and they're like, it's just insane to watch how fast they work. Like, they'll listen to a song and just start playing it. So
that's pros, man. Absolutely. It's so exciting to be around that. It's just so exciting.
I know.
Ideas and, like, and I know that, like, a lot of the recordings, there's a lot of electronic stuff going on there. So in this way, were there tracks going as well, or were they just playing it live?
I can't remember. Just all live.
Sometimes, like, and you actually pulled it off, because sometimes the coolness, especially the way that your EP and your music is produced, there's a quietness to it that's difficult to get across at, like, a bar. You know what I mean? You can do it at a theater, but it's so hard to like, at a bar where people are like, hey, what you doing? And your stuff is so sparse, like, instrumentally and quiet and calm that what I thought was so cool and about you as a performer and what made you seem so seasoned was that you didn't try to scream over the room. When you started, you set a precedent, and the room came down in volume
that's dope.
To you. And you're like, all right, this is my show. It's my stage. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that's, you know, it's not arrogance or anything like that. It's actual just confidence and, like, hey,
thank you.
You paid to see this, so shh. And you didn't even have to say that. You just did it through your energy and performance. It's fucking cool, man. It's making the hair on my arm stand up
again. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're very cool, Grace.
Thank you.
Why is your last name Sorensen? What are you, Swedish?
Danish.
Danish.
Danish. And my Mexican? Danish and Mexican, yep. So my dad is Danish descent. Yeah, Mexidane. And then my grandparents are from Mexico. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Do you speak Spanish?
A little bit. Yeah. Enough to talk to my grandma, but like I would never consider myself fluent at all. So.
Do you make the food?
No.
Oh.
No, I'm so mad about it. I'm like, I can't. My grandma is an incredible cook. She's still alive. My mom never carried it down, so my mom doesn't really cook. Mostly she just didn't really have the time to like sit down and like whip up an amazing meal. But that way I didn't really ever learn to cook like that, but my oldest sister, she did.
Yeah.
So she can cook some really amazing meals that my grandma used to make. So it kind of still runs in the family, but I don't cook it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. You're 19.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're a person in the scene.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, it's Grace.
Yeah.
You can't get into most of the places.
Yeah. Indeed.
<What's going on?
laughs> Indeed.
How do you handle that?
Well, usually...
I know they let you play there because you shouldn't have been at the Pershing that night.
I should not have been at the Pershing. I should not have been anywhere.
But you're allowed to play.
Yeah.
You're allowed to work. It's because I was a kid that did that.
Yes. Yeah. So I can play for sure. But when I want to go see my friends, I'll just have to be like, hey, is there any way that you could put me on your guest list? Or if there's like a cover for minors, or if you could sneak me in the back. So I've snuck in the back of Flamingo Cantina a few times. And if they just put crosses on my hands, I'm fine with that because I don't drink either. So it's not.
Have you ever?
I'll sometimes, like, if my sister makes margaritas, I will drink one. But like, I've never been drunk, but I've been like tipsy maybe. But that's it.
Mm.
But it's
so
fun.
So your sister makes pretty weak margaritas.
No, I'm just joking. I mean, kind of though. I make her, but she really does. She likes drinking. Like at the Pershing, she's having a great time.
Yeah,
having a great time. But yeah. Yeah.
So what's your social life? I know that this is kind of that has nothing to do with music, but the point of this show is like the reason why I talk about personal stuff is because no one really that's listening connects with you on what the song you wrote or the feeling of that, mm-hmm. but they will connect on like, oh, you know, my social life is like this. They're like, oh, me too, man.
See, I love that. I love talks like this, but, it's cool. I'm sure a lot of artists will understand that there's not a lot of social fun time. I mean, for me, everything musically is fun. Like, mm-hmm. it's never work. It's never...
That's the thing is that working in the Orb mm-hmm. or being at that rehearsal with your band,
it's like fun.
Super fun.
Like, that's like my playdate time.
Yeah.
It's dope. So, you know, I'm never mad about that. But like my personal friends, are like having friends that don't do music or don't dance. I don't really have many friends that aren't creatives.
Right, right.
But my friends from high school, we still keep in touch and still talk sometimes. And when they're in town, like we'll go thrifting or, you know, get some food. But most of the time it's usually me and my sister. We live together. So... we'll just kind of go do everything together. I'll just be by myself, go do some cool stuff by myself. But yeah, I like to just keep it chill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who did you come up looking up to musically?
That's a good question. I don't think I had a specific idol, if you will, but I did really respect like the big artists, like the huge artists like Beyonce.
Beyonce.
I liked Sam Smith for a long time. Who else did I used to watch?
Where did he go? He's kind of
he turned into like a EDM art, like not really. he turned into like pop, like pop, electro pop.
Okay.
And I was like, what is happening? What's going on? But I still love him, and I went through like a hardcore Sam Smith phase. Like I had a shrine in my closet. It was like a little bit obsessive. But I really loved him. And, like, maybe, like, not even, like, Selena, of course. Oh, I love Selena. That was a big one.
Yeah.
I would watch her movie, like, 3 times a day. Obsessed.
Yeah.
I wanted to have one of those beautiful moments where she, like, threw a flower and, like, have my beautiful band behind me.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff was crazy. Definitely Selena, now that I think about it.
Yeah, she was great. The Selena thing, like, I was in my 20s and in mm-hmm. a rock band, in a van traveling around the U.S., Selena, like, I remember knowing who she was, but I really knew who she was when she died because it was huge news story. You couldn't escape it. But a couple of years ago, I watched the movie, and then during the lockdown, I spent a month at the beach with my family in 2020, mm-hmm. and that show came on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. I did not like the show.
You didn't?
No.
I watched the whole season, like, in one sitting.
See, I wish. I tried.
I got into it, man.
I tried. I don't know why. It just didn't...
I think I got into it because I was in lockdown. I was at a beach house with my family. Yeah. We were starting to drive each other crazy. And so yeah. I just sat there and watched
Maybe
TV
I
all day.
I should like try to rewatch it because I didn't give it much. I didn't give it much love just because I was so tied to the original.
Yeah.
That I was like, okay, what? Who is this new girl? Like, I don't know who this is. Like trying to pretend she like J-Lo just did it so well.
Right. Right.
That I didn't want to.
Yeah.
Try anybody else, but maybe I should.
It's an interesting story. That's what I find yeah. it to be interesting in that she was such an inspiration to so many people. Like,
oh, absolutely.
You know, yeah.
The Latino community, like, it was
oh, God.
Crazy
yeah.
for her, Selena.
Yeah.
Like, hardcore fans that still really protect her brand and things.
Yeah.
So.
I'm Cuban. Awesome. My parents were born in Cuba, but we didn't, Selena, it's not the sort of polka vibe. Uh-huh. Of Tejano music
yeah.
bums out salsa people.
Yep.
You know what
yep,
I mean?
Yep.
Like, they're like, dude, the rhythm's
Absolutely.
Just not happening for me.
Tejano isn't even, like, my favorite type of Latin music.
What's your favorite?
Probably, like, bachata music.
What's
and
that?
Stuff like, they're like, or maybe, like, what's it? Like, Romeo Santos. Like, he's huge for me. Like some just classic, like the classic, almost like a Buena Vista Social Club.
Oh, yeah.
My mom loves them. That I don't know. Just not really Tejano. Tejano
yeah.
is like almost country.
Yeah.
Like it's almost a little too twangy for me.
Yeah.
But, you know. It's
and
all
it's
cool.
also like polka music.
Yeah.
It's But there's still like Como la Flor,
yep.
that Selena. So there's just like, that's just
yeah.
a great song, hands down, no
just
matter.
Just ballads, beautiful ballads.
Gorgeous ballads, yeah.
Yep.
You, as an artist, like what's your next, I know you just put out this EP.
Yeah.
And you're probably growing and like getting inspired by so many different things.
Totally.
That have you felt like a shift in sort of like what your music is going to take on in the next year or two?
For sure. Doing those live shows made me realize how important live shows are and how important to me they are. And I kind of want to start making some more things that I know would translate really well live. And my head kind of wants to go a little more soul, like traditional or neo-soul,
yeah.
versus so like R&B pop.
Right, yeah.
That's just what, I just feel more from soul.
Right.
And, yeah, so I have a little single that I think I'm going to put out pretty soon, maybe do a video for, but other than that, I'm really just trying to explore more soul stuff, more pretty boy
right.
version of things and kind of go in that direction, but, yeah, there's definitely a lot of things that I've started opening my eyes to.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I was wondering about that. And sometimes sometimes somebody with music that has the finesse that you do, they feel like since they start playing with a band, then let's bash some stuff out more.
Mm.
You know, like, but you're not going to do that, right?
No, I want to add a sax. Oh, I definitely want to add some sax.
I wish I played sax. It'd be cool to have like an old sax guy on
See,
the side.
See, yes, I need like someone really old. so if you find anybody, just let me know. But yeah, I definitely want to keep that real like groovy vibe.
Yeah.
I remember I went to see Summer Walker live, and she was at the Moody Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Okay, Summer Walker is huge, and I feel like a lot of people, when I say that she's my favorite artist, I can't help it. She's like my number one.
I've never heard of her.
She's been, you have to, she's amazing. She's been my number one for like 4 years straight, and she, when I first started listening to her, she had this little EP that was like super soul, like the real dramatic intros.
Sure.
And I just fell in love with her, and I was like, this is beautiful. And she's real timid. She's real shy, even on stage. She always talks about how she has, like, really bad, like, social anxiety. And when she goes on stage, she was just like that. When I saw her, she had two pole dancers that were so classy and beautiful.
Wow.
And it was such a beautiful experience. And she was just sitting there in like sweats,
yeah, yeah.
singing all her yeah. songs. And it was so like she did what you say, apparently I kind of tried to do
yeah.
where the room kind of followed her. And it wasn't.
You didn't. I don't think you even tried to do it. I think you just did it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not going to lie. I didn't think about that. So I guess I didn't try.
That's how cool you are. Like that's actually very cool. That's the coolest you can be.
Thank you.
Sorry, I didn't even realize what I did. I just kind of went up there and did my set and owned everyone. Sorry, that's go really, ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're fine. But yeah, she did that. And I remember just being like, wow, she didn't try to do too much or have too much going on. It was just the perfect show. Like if I could rewatch that and re-experience it over and over again, I would. It was literally like the best thing I've ever seen. And I don't, maybe I'm like giving her too much credit. I don't know who else feels this way about her, but I really was like in love. It was so beautiful, everything about it. So one day I want to have a show like that.
Okay.
Maybe with some pole dancers too.
Yeah.
It was so cool.
That's amazing.
So cool.
Do you have any shows on the books?
Yeah,
yeah,
I have one this Saturday.
Oh, this will be out after that, sorry.
Oh, you're fine.
Where are you playing this Saturday?
This Saturday will be at it's this thing called ACGC, Austin Child Guidance Center. They're doing a nonprofit show at Circuit of Americas.
Oh, wow, nice.
Yeah, so Diana Ross is the headliner, but there's like...
He's just like at your 11th gig? I'm just doing this gig with Diana Ross. Right. Well, she was in the Supremes or something. I don't know.
She's like the closing, like there's like a daytime.
The headliner, yeah.
Yeah, daytime sure. little show. And then there's like the headliner nighttime. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I'll be doing that this weekend. And then.
Do you have a manager?
No, okay. I do not. I have a lawyer now, okay. But I don't have a manager.
So you know their thing is going to be like, yeah, she just opened for Diana Ross. What? Yeah, yeah. She's did a show with Diana Ross.
I don't know, like they're
I did one of those with Ozzy one time in the 90s, and it was like my booking agent was like, oh no, they just opened for Ozzy, but we played it like 3 in the afternoon on a side stage.
See, yeah. But like you open.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
There's somewhere sure. on the line. There's somewhere yeah. on the lineup.
Yeah, somewhere on the lineup.
No, yeah. And then I'm playing at Firehouse, I think May 7th.
Okay.
So yeah, Firehouse, and then there'll be others that kind of pop up on the way, but that's all I know for now.
Yeah, I'm obviously I've said it like 93 times in this podcast, and whoever else has been on of the 1,150 shows that I didn't tell them how awesome they were through the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You are, and I'm a fan. Like, I'm a fan. I want to hear what you do, and I'm really, I haven't actually talked to Matt about it, and I meant to call him that night, but then I'm always like, oh, he's got kids and stuff. He's
yeah.
a regular guy now. Can't just call him at 2 a.m. like, dude, fucking Grace Sorensen, right? But all of you, it's great, and I'm really Thank impressed you. With you, and just the fact that you're so and you sing so well. Kudos to your voice teacher, because that's another
Thank
thing
you
is
so
like,
much.
You know, for someone who's playing their first gig with a band, you weren't like freaking out over monitors or anything. I was just like, hey, I'm doing this thing, and
Thank
you sounded
you.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Is there anything I'm missing? I mean, I'm sure there is, but you got to come back and do the show. And also, we got to be friends.
Of course.
Officially.
Are we not already?
No, I thought we were.
Yes,
sometimes
good.
You never know.
Okay, good.
It's show business. Good. Sometimes you're just friends when the mic's on and then it ends like, see you later, Grace.
Yeah, right, it's bye, like, go. Okay, bye. That's it. That's why I hate the Zoom interviews.
Oh, God, I hate
them.
Oh,
it's so awkward. They just close off and I'm like, oh, okay, bye.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little weird.
Yeah.
But for sure.
It's shitty to have to be the guy that does that.
Yeah.
Well, time's up.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever been in therapy?
No.
Oh.
No.
Well, the therapist, like, you know, you're there, you're laying it all out, you
yeah.
know, you're crying.
Oh, that would be
it's
so
It's this
hard
whole
for
fucking
me.
Thing. And all of a sudden it's like 1:50 and you get 50 minutes, right? You got to clear out yep. before the next guy comes in. So it'll be like the little thing will go and you're like, and then, you know, and my dad. And then they're like, okay, well, John, we're going to have to pick up next week where we're, and you're like,
I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll see you later. You're like,
I cry on the way out.
Yeah, you're crying. Okay, I'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Oh, God. No.
It's not always like that, but it can be.
Still, that would stress me out, trying to lay out my whole life in 50 minutes.
Well, it's weeks and weeks. If
right.
That's, you know, it's yeah. not just once. That's how they get you.
I know. therapists.
Yeah. It's been great talking to you.
So
and people can
to
find you.
You
at graysorensen.com. The EP is called What I Never Told You. Absolutely fantastic. And I guess your dates will be on your
website. Yep.
That's the word I was looking for. Thanks so much for doing the show, Grace.
Yes, absolutely. Anytime.
That's Grace Sorensen, her new EP, What I Never Told You, available wherever it is you stream and download your jams. You can find her at graysorensen.com. What a great conversation. What a great artist. I felt great after I talked to her. It was like one of those conversations where you're in a great mood afterwards. Grace Sorensen, man. Keep up with her. What I Never Told You. Say you found her here on How Did I Get Here? Because she is a new artist. You know, I feel like we're going to hear a lot from Grace Sorensen in the future. All right. So, hey, gang, don't forget when you're out there checking out graysorensen.com that you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you find podcasts, be it Spotify, TuneIn, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, anywhere. New podcasts every Tuesday and every Friday. All right. All right. Have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down.
To be so affected by evil, but you're the child of fallen angels. You head away with your words. Most I misunderstood. A false gospel. But oh, you had me so captive. My soul captive. Believed everything you said. Oh, you had my everything wrapped around your finger. But oh, you hit me so.